That sound means that it is time for Carolina Panthers' own Mick Mixon. Mick, what's going on, man?
How you boys been living?
Living large.
Living large. All right, so give me kind of your feeling through four games so far. Panthers are 4-0. Give me a little bit of the good. Give me a little bit of what could be better.
Well, the good is that we're even par through four holes. We've got some of the harder holes coming up, but we're making some pro pars, you know, knocking on the green, two putt from 30 feet. But we're not giving ourselves the birdie opportunities that we need. So what that means, I think, in a crucible is that what do we know about the Carolina Panthers? What can we verify through training camp, preseason, four games? One, this is a cohesive, together, tough football team. This team's going to be a tough out. We may take a lump or two this season, but we're going to stay together, take our coaching well. This team has a lot of respect and love for one another. It's been amazing how the veteran players, Roman Harper from last year, Charles Tillman from this year, Kurt Coleman from this year, even Jared Allen coming in. It's amazing how the veteran guys have meshed and fit right in with the younger groups of guys at the different positions. Cam Newton's on the come. He's been playing well. We missed Kelvin Benjamin, but the other receivers are trying to step in there and fill the void. So that's kind of what we know. Plus, the defense is pretty salty. But there are a lot of areas for potential growth. You know, we're kind of playing that delay fade right now, that hold-off fade, because I think we don't really have control of the draw yet, and we're going to need that shot for the tougher holes in the middle of our schedule. There are too many penalties, too much fiddle farting around, letting the other team get happy in games, propping their world up with penalties that sustain drives. We still got some areas for potential growth on special teams. And then I think the receivers continuing to catch the ball cleanly, those would be the three big ones in my mind anyway.
Well, all right, Mick, to continue with the golf analogy, I mean, we're level par through four, but of the next four holes, Seahawks, Eagles, Colts, and Packers, there might be three par fives there. Are we going to the tee with any woods in the bag at all?
You got to. You got to take the driver out. You can't be timid. I mean, you just got to get in that athletic stance and just take dead aim. I mean, not just try to get it in the fairway, but just pick out the exact V between that cedar and that pine on the horizon that you want to carve that tee ball right in there. How else is there to do it? I mean, you cannot. Football is one of those games that does not reward being timid. Football rewards trying harder, swing harder, be an athlete. So I think that's what we're going to try to do.
All right, so here's my question relative to that. So I'm standing on the par five. I'm Phil Mickelson, and I'm pulling out the driver, and I'm just letting it fly. We all know that doesn't work all the time for Phil. The thing I worry about for the Carolina Panthers, you look at some of the stats right now. Cam Newton has rushed it 43 times, Jonathan Stewart 59 times. To me, that's a little worrisome that there's too many design runs for Cam. Is this a concern as we go through the season that he starts to get dinged up, or do we just keep doing what we do best?
Well, I don't think it's a concern at all, and here's why I say that. I just don't think there's any science behind the logic, the attempt at logic, that that design runs are more dangerous. I put to you that Cam Newton is safer when he's running the ball. He's safer when he is orchestrating it. He's safer on the quarterback power, the QB dart, even a quarterback sneak. He's safer than he is in the pocket, hoping that the left tackle does his job against a right defensive end that wants to gore Cam Newton in the back. Cam Newton, when he's running a design run, he can end it on his own terms. He can get his legs up under him. He can get out of bounds. He can slide. So I think, now, naturally, you'd like to have your running backs. I mean, you'd probably like to – I'm not disagreeing with the premise of your question. You'd probably rather have Jonathan Stewart having the more carries and the more yards, but for right now, it just hadn't been that way.
Well, and let's not forget, I mean, when we talk about Cam Newton, we're not talking about Russell Wilson. We're not talking about Nick Foles. Cam Newton's the biggest guy in the huddle. I mean, when you look at – if you've ever stood next to or spoken to or shaken hands with Cam Newton, he's huge. He is much less likely – you talk about the laws of science. How about physics? There's a guy who's going to be as big or bigger than most of the linebackers and virtually all of the safeties and corners that he might face on a veer option keep. So – for me, I may disagree with Mark and have to agree with you, Mick. I'm completely comfortable with him running. I don't see him getting hurt there. I see him getting hurt with somebody rolling up on his ankles in the pocket.
Well, me too. I'm the same way, and I think that the Panthers view it that way. Cam is an exquisitely talented athlete. He's not just a good runner for a quarterback. He's a good runner for a runner. Since 2011, there's only four running backs that have more rushing touchdowns than Cam Newton has. Only four running backs that have more rushing touchdowns than Cam Newton since 2011. I think that's an incredible stat.
Well, how has he developed as a leader? I mean, that's one of the things that's always been a bit of a rub, is that he's popular, but is he a leader? Has he taken any leaps forward as a leader on that team this year?
I think so, but, he's not going to be able to please everybody. There are people that want him to wear the Gatorade towel on his head differently. There's people that don't like the way he sulks after a loss. People that critique his fashion, his choice of post-game attire. People that think he's too jokey man, too casual. He's not going to be able to please everybody. The people that want him to be Vince Lombardi, George S. Patton, all rolled into, and Joel Osteen and Zig Ziglar all rolled into one, they're probably not going to be that happy. But he's his own guy. I mean, he's a captain. He trades in that locker room with tremendous respect. And the currency that he deals in is that he is talented, he is hardworking, he's serious, he takes it serious, and his combative fires burn bright. He doesn't just want to win a major. He wants to be that iconic figure that 25 years from now, all you got to say, just like you say Jack and Arnie, you say Cam, and you know exactly who you're talking about.
Again, we're talking with the voice of the Panthers, Mick Mixon. And Mick, when we talk about these next four games coming up, I mean, you got Seattle.
The second quarter.
You got Philadelphia. You got Indianapolis. You got Green Bay. You know, what's it going to take? I mean, you can be the one-dimensional Dustin Johnson bombing it down the fairway, hitting it 330 yards, but you still got to make birdies. You still got to, finish it off like he hasn't done in the majors. I'm talking about Dustin Johnson. Or you got to be the Jordan Spieth that doesn't do anything exceptionally well, but does a lot of things pretty good that gets him to win majors and golf tournaments. What do you see the Panthers having to do well, or do they have to do something extremely good to win? You got to say three of these four games. I mean, if they go 2-2, you almost feel like you've kind of run into a brick wall that you started 4-0.
Well, I think that the Panthers don't need – the beauty of this Carolina Panther team is how it's built. It's built to not to have to change its internal lattice based on who you're playing. So to go to Seattle, to win out there. I watched that game last night, Seattle-Detroit. The Seattle defense was amped up. I mean, they were just mad at the world, flying around. Looked like you're not even going to be able to get a first down. But Detroit hangs in there, almost wins the game. I think the beauty with the Carolina Panthers is the Panthers have an added dimension offensively that the Lions don't have. Of course, the Lions have Megatron, but the Panthers have the added dimension of the threat of the option, a running quarterback, an ability to lighten the box with the option and with Cam Newton running it. The Panther defense will benefit from getting Luke Kuechly back. That will be one box you'd love to be able to check. If Luke Kuechly can come back healthy for this four-game stretch, that would be key. I think really the Panthers don't need to remake themselves. All they need to do is tighten up some of the loose nuts and bolts, as Coach Ron Rivera says. Get those things torqued down to specs, and the Panthers should be okay.
So we're looking at when you look at these next four games, the second quarter of the season, Seahawks, Eagles, Colts, Packers, you as a supporter, you as somebody who's in the building, would you be happy with 2-2 in the next four?
Well, no, because that would be a defeatist attitude. After the Panthers go 2-2, we would. I'm not trying to dodge your question, but we'd have to talk about it. What kind of 2-2 was it? Did we
right. Did
we suffer an eviscerating loss? Did we go 0-2 and then 2-0? What kind of trend is there? How healthy are we coming out of that four-game trend? The Panthers are good. This is what we've worked for. This is what we've built towards. Let's just call it for what it is. Why would you set your goals at 50% when you've already gone undefeated through the first quarter? So, no, I would not be happy with 2-2, at least prior to this four-game stretch. The Colts don't scare you to death like they might have when the schedule first came out. Neither does Seattle. Neither does Philadelphia. Green Bay's playing great, but even they have some weaknesses. So I say, no, let's go 4-0 through this stretch.
All right, division mates Atlanta are also 4-0. Are they good?
They appear to be, yeah, with the way Freeman's running the ball. He's running like he's had the 5-hour energies like he's had 10 of them. It's just hard to tackle, knees, elbows just flying in there. Plus you got Dan Quinn who's come in and shored up that defense a little. So Atlanta, they've always been able to pitch and catch, but they're running the ball well now and they're defending. So I think Atlanta, it's hard to believe that the Panthers in Atlanta won't play until December, but when they do, they'll play two times in 3 weeks.
Yeah, that's a crazy bit of schedule there at the end.
Yeah, definitely. Well, Mick, you know, we really look forward to the Panthers' next four games. I know you are. You know, I got to say, I think they, even if they come out 2-2, and I know you said you didn't want to do that, you look at the next two games are very winnable, Tennessee and Washington. I mean, all in all, I mean, if you're talking through 10 games, you have the potential of being 8-2. That's pretty solid. That sets you up for probably what you would say a weaker second half schedule than a first half schedule. So you got to feel good about that.
Yeah, it is. The schedule in the past has been front end loaded, guys, and there have been just a bloody collection of games early on that makes it harder to get off to a good start. Last year, the Panthers were 2-0, then 2-2, then 3-2, and then we had that stretch where we looked like, my wife likes to watch The Walking Dead. She said, "Do you want to watch The Walking Dead with me?" And I said, "No, I've been looking at The Walking Dead for the last month of November." But no, I mean, the Panthers tried hard and fought gamely, but it was just miraculous how the Panthers stayed together and stayed unified and fought through some things last year. I think that same mindset still exists in 2015.
Well, Mick, we appreciate you coming on, and we're going to catch up with you later in the season and see how things are going.
You can count on it, guys. Thanks for the visit.
All right, thanks a lot.